Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Sattertons podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
So in the name of Jesus, we come into agreement. There's divine health and provision and supernatural growth and fruitfulness that draws the attention of the world. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming out. All right, so announcements this morning: online Bible study Tuesdays at 8. If you can be there, you should check it out. The Zoom ID is 869-3414-4657. If you didn't catch that, it's on the little bulletin song lyric sheets. If you have questions about that, you can contact Bob at dwellatthewell.com. The Gap Ministry is collecting toiletries, personal health care products for women and children, diapers and wipes. That's for the Morningstar Maternity Home. There's also a sheet of some bigger items that they need if you guys want to sign up to get one of those items. I know a lot of us are really bothered by the things that happen in our nation concerning the unborn. It's been something that I've kind of been bothered by for a long time. For those of you that don't know, my middle name, I was named after the patron saint of unborn children and pregnant mothers. So I take it kind of personal. Oh, it's Gerard. We keep that a secret, too. We won't be podcasting that.
That's a nice name.
Yeah, it's my father's middle name, my uncle's middle name. And you guys really want to know? It goes back to the priest that married my grandparents. It was Father Gerard. So we have a lot of namesakes. In my dad's family, there's 7 of us with that middle name. And my youngest, Levi Gerard Romet, he wants to keep that a secret too. So anyway, that's that. We are collecting. And, you know, a lot of you guys, you want to do something about this. There's like a set of pots and pans that they need. It'll go into one of the homes they have, and you'll be blessing, you know, more mothers than you can count over the lifetime of those pots and pans. And there's some other stuff. If anyone wants to replace some windows, they need some work done in the house. If you know how to replace windows, if that's something you can do, you can always solicit help from people who don't know. And that's always fun and makes it take longer, but at least you'll have friends. All right, so the ladies, if you're a lady and you're in this room, there's going to be a quick meeting after church to discuss the tea party May 5th at 6 p.m. Go to that meeting even if you're not planning on going to that tea party, because we just need a little communication about who's coming. So if you're not coming, that's cool. Just let somebody know. Something new to announce this morning. Mark your calendars. June 11th and 12th, right here, right in this space, we're doing a 24-hour worship event. We'll have more details for that coming up. We're going to start 7 o'clock on Friday, and it'll end 8 o'clock on Saturday. And it's been pretty awesome because we're bringing Bob on board. And this is in Bob's job description to do this, and he's doing it. So it's amazing. It's been on our heart for a while. Remember, prayer isn't the only thing we do, but it's the first thing we do. And as we're establishing in the community, one of the things that we want to do is a couple times a year just have in people and do 24 hours of worship. I'm not doing all 24 hours. Just so you know, there's some teams coming from Hopewell, Morningstar. Laura, who spoke here a long while back, is going to come in and do a set. So we're actually quite full at the moment, which is awesome. Anyway, offering baskets in the back. If you brought something to give, hold it in your hand. I want to pray over it. And then we're going to jump right in. Today we're going to be in John 6 and Matthew 13. I will remind you of that in a moment. So Father, we thank you for the ability to sow into what you're doing here. Lord, we just pray that you would prosper what is sown, that you would release your creativity, that we could turn these finances into changed lives. It's our desire to point outward, to begin to meet the needs of the community. Lord, we pray that those needs would become apparent to us, that they wouldn't be hidden or secret, that we would know exactly how to step forth in this season. In Jesus' name. And we just pray that you would bless those that are sowing, that you would meet the needs that they have, that they would have abundantly more. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we don't pass the plates. You can just throw that in the back at your convenience. All right, we're going to be in John 6 and Matthew 13 today. Just a heads up, I'm going to give you 3 points today. Those points may change a little bit. The first time I give it, it might be longer. The second time, I may shorten it. As we talk about the 3 points, I want to just revisit a verse that I talked about a couple weeks ago, because we're going to have 3 things that you can put a priority on that would help you grow. But I want to remind you of this verse in John chapter 6, verse 28. We read this a couple of weeks ago. And this crowd had come to Jesus, and they wanted him to feed them again. It was the same crowd that the day before he multiplied the loaves and the fish. And he wanted them to feed them again, and he wasn't going to feed them again. So they asked him this question in verse 28. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And a lot of us ask that question. We want to be right there with God, and we want to work with God, and we want to see God work, and we want to see the works of God. So the crowd asked him, and Jesus answered them. And I want to remind you this, even though I'm giving you 3 points, that you have one job. You guys know those memes. You had one job. You know, the whole floor is beautiful and one tile is reversed. You had one job. So you have one job, and this is your one job. In verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So our one job is to believe. Everything else just helps us with our one job. And so as we talk about the 3 things that you could do that would help you grow, I want you to keep in mind that really you have one job, and that job is just to believe. We're going to start in John 10:10. Some of you thought we weren't. This is a verse that we've looked at for the last year or so, almost every time that I talked. By now you should be able to quote it, so I'm just going to start with the words, "The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they have life more abundantly. The last time we talked about this verse, we made the observation that everyone that Jesus was talking to in this moment was actually already alive. They already had a heartbeat. They were breathing. They were looking for something, I don't know, but they were with Jesus, and they had this heartbeat. They were breathing. They were alive. So there must be something more that Jesus is talking about than just being alive. We connected the dots and decided that if Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, there has to be something more than just being alive. If there is something more to living as a follower of Jesus than just getting into heaven available to us, the question we should have is, how do I get it? If there's something more than just that ticket to heaven, if there's something more than just having a good life. So we read in John 6, we talked about this already a little bit this morning, Jesus feeding the multitude, and the crowd seeks him out and tries to get him to feed them again. In verse 63 of John 6, while Jesus is talking to this crowd, he says, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." The next day, the crowd tries to get Jesus to feed him again. Remember, Jesus came so we could have life, and life more abundantly. In verse 63 of John 6, Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Jesus challenges them with some things they don't understand. Remember, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." Nobody understands this. They don't have the same insight that we have. They don't know that 2,000 years later we'll have this little cup that no one can open with a little cracker that tastes horrible, and we'll have this thing called communion, and we'll remember what Jesus did. They don't have this information. So in verse 66 of that chapter, it says, "From that time, many of his disciples," it doesn't say many regular folks, many people that were just happening by, these were people in the discipleship program of Jesus, "went back and walked with him no more," because they didn't understand. And then Jesus said to the 12, verse 67, do you also want to go away? And in verse 68, now remember, Simon Peter doesn't understand this either. There's going to be things that we don't understand. But he does understand one thing. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So Jesus said, he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Jesus also said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Remember, our question is how to get life and life more abundant. How do I interact with it? Where do I find it? And the answer is in the words of Jesus. I'm going to go into Matthew chapter 13. We are really chugging along. We're going to get done early today. All right. Matthew chapter 13. So this parable is found in the three Gospels. It's found in three of the Gospels. There's four Gospels. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to be in Matthew. We're going to reference a verse in Mark later. And I'm just going to start Matthew 13 and verse 1. I'm just going to read this. This is also one of those things that Jesus would have said to a crowd of people, and most of the people would have been like, huh? They wouldn't have understood it. Maybe some farmers might have understood on a some level, but most people would have been like, huh? All right, so verse 1, later that day, Jesus left the house and sat by the lake shore to teach the people. I have to stop here. The first phrase, later that day, would imply that it's attached to something that happened before in the day. So there's something that happened in chapter 12 that maybe you want to read on your own. Okay, so later that day, Jesus left the house. So here's a funny thing, and this has nothing to do with the point today, so just file it away. I want you to think about it. I don't have a fact. I don't have a document that proves this. But I want to tell you, just whatever you have to imagine in your mind, I am meeting you somewhere, whether we're having coffee, whether we're lighting stuff on fire, whether we're going to do something here in the church, however this scenario works in your head, I am meeting you somewhere, and you receive a text from me, and that text says, just left the house. In that context, whose house did I just leave?
Yours.
Right. If I had left Keith and Rosemary's house, I would have said, just left Keith and Rosemary's house. If I had left a vacation home that I was renting, I would have said, just left this vacation home that I was renting. So in this context, this is worth thinking about. This is just for you to consider. Jesus left the house. It was the house. It wasn't a house. It wasn't Frank's house. Jesus left the house and sat by the lakeshore. I want you to consider this, that even though Jesus said, you know, birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, at every turn, every portion of Scripture that we read, we see Jesus having exactly what he needs. Multiple times Jesus is on boats. Multiple times he's feeding people. Hey, we got to pay the temple tax. Let's go catch a fish. Let's have the temple text. So Jesus always has exactly what he needs. I think we need to kind of get away from this mindset that Jesus slept on the ground in a field every night. I'm not going to tell you this is Jesus' lake house. I can't prove it. But it might be Jesus' lake house. It's worth thinking about. So any of you who feel guilty for your nice house, you don't have to sleep in a field to love Jesus. All right. Guys, ready to get back to what we were talking about? All right. Verse 2. Soon many people were surrounding him that he had to teach sitting in a boat. I don't know whose boat it was. All right. In a boat, while a large crowd stood there on the shore, he taught them many things by using stories, parables to illustrate spiritual truths. Consider this. There was a farmer who went out to sow seed. As he cast his seed, some fell along the beaten path, and the birds came and ate them. Others fell onto gravel that had no topsoil. They quickly shot up. But when the days grew hot, they were scorched and withered because they had insufficient roots. Others fell among the thorns, so they sprouted. The thorns choked them. But other seed fell on good, rich soil that kept producing a good harvest, some yielding 30, some 60, and some even 100 times as much as he planted. If you're able to understand this, then you need to respond. If you're able to understand this, then you need to respond. And I would assert to you, everyone in that crowd was like, yeah, we know how to plant a garden. We understand farming. We have no idea what you're talking about apart from that. You know, there would have been some confusion. Now, when I was young, I read this story for the very first time. I actually remember this. I remember reading this, closing my Bible, and saying to the Lord, please tell me what this parable means. I want to understand. I want to be someone who understands this. And it was really funny because I didn't realize like 9 verses later he explained it. So I probably went weeks and months being like, I want to understand this parable. I was thinking about it. And I brought this in to show you. This is my Good News Bible that I read it in. My Good News Bible that was given to me by Tabor United Methodist Church on September 3rd, 1989. And I want to show you something else about little kid Matt, or 10-year-old Matt. I guess I would have been 10 at that time. There's only 2 verses highlighted in this whole Bible. So I'm going to read them to you, show you how spiritual I was when I was 10. The 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 23. Highlighted in pink, by the way. I have no idea. Highlighters might not have been as prevalent in my world. All right, Elijah left Jericho to go to Bethel. And on the way, some boys came out of town and made fun of him. Get out of here, Baldy, they shouted. Elijah turned around, glared at them, cursed him in the name of the Lord, and 2 she-bears came out of the woods and tore 42 boys to pieces. So that was my verse when I was 10. Some of you are looking for a new church. Anyway, So I literally like thought I was going to gain some insight from the Spirit to something that's actually already explained in Scripture. And I just think that's humorous that I even remember this, all this. And so, you know, we're going to look at what Jesus said about the parable, you know, and the story out of, we're going to look at it I want to share one verse with you out of Mark, what Jesus said about the parable. And it's Mark 4:14. And it's real simple. It says, the sower sows the word. It couldn't be any clearer that what's being sown is the word. Now remember, Jesus came to give us abundant life. Jesus said his words were life. This whole passage is about how we receive the word that brings us life. It couldn't be any clearer than the sower sows the word. Can we say it together? The sower sows the word. So what is he sowing?
The word.
The word. There's nothing secret in there? There might be, but there's not, I don't know. Anyway, so in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18, it says, now you are ready to hear the explanation of the parable. Jesus said this, the parable of the sower. Verse 19, what was sown along the path represents the one who listens to the message of the kingdom but doesn't understand it. The adversary then comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. The thief comes to
steal,
right. So why was it stolen? I'll read it again. What was sown along the path represents the one who listens to the message of the kingdom of God but doesn't understand it. The adversary then comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. So why was it stolen? He didn't understand it. In the time that we live in history, it's a great time to be alive. I know they'll tell you it's not. It's a great time to be alive. I can buy a frozen chicken pot pie. I don't have to kill a chicken. I don't have to make pie dough. I don't have to grow vegetables. And I can buy this thing for 99 cents. It's a great time to be alive. All right. But if anyone wants to make a homemade chicken pot pie, I'm sorry. So why was it stolen? Because he didn't understand it. We live in a great time of history. There's a bazillion resources to help us understand. Did you guys know that we have over 450 English Bible translations?
Wow.
450 people took Greek and Hebrew, Old Testament, New Testament, and they said, hey, I'm going to try to translate this into English. Yeah, most of us know like the Big 5, King James, New King James, NIV. I'm just making these up as I go. You guys know I use the Passion Translation and the Amplified. Those are my Big 5. The Amplified has more words to help me understand. I've also told you guys about blueletterbible.com. You can click the words, they're blue. It shows you the Greek word and the definition. then it shows you all the ways it's so for something I don't understand, I'm seeking to understand. Okay, 450 English translations of the Bible, just to show you how this works. I pulled a verse that you all know, John 3:16. This is in the Hawaiian Pidgin version. Okay, which is mostly English. This was made in 2000 by Wycliffe Bible translators so that people that this was their first language would have a translation of the Bible. I don't have a Hawaiian accent. I'm going to read this like me with the Hawaiian words. It'll be okay. All right. John 3:16. God, when gets so plenty love and aloha for the people inside the world, that he when send me, his one and only boy, so that everybody that trusts in me no get cut off from God, but get the real kind of life that stay to the max forever. But listen, did we gain some insight from that?
I was too distracted.
Okay. I'll pull out the insight for you that you don't see in your... So we have, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will have eternal life. You guys know that verse. So this is what I see in this translation of the Bible. That God have so plenty love for the people inside the world. So God has a lot of plenty love. It doesn't say that in my translation. And it also says, he sent Jesus so we don't get cut off from God. I've never thought about it like that. And then it says, to get the real kind of life. Ours doesn't say that. Knowing Jesus is the real kind of life that stays to the max forever. Which just makes me feel like, you know, I'm on some kind of X Games competition. So that was translated, you know, by Wycliffe Bible translators. If you have no familiarity with Wycliffe, you should check him out. There's a really great book called Through Gates of Splendor. It's the story, it's written by Elizabeth Elliot. And so this was, I'm going to say 60s, in the 60s, they were working with Wycliffe. They flew into a tribe of cannibals, and they decided that the husband should go first, set up a house, and then they would have their wives come. They were all young couples, and the husbands went in, and the cannibals killed and ate them. And then the three wives still went and reached the cannibals. It's a great book. So thankfully, it's a, yeah, there's a movie. Elizabeth Elliot. Yeah, you got to read the book first. Let's all watch the movie on the side of the church. That'll be great for the community. All right. So, we're talking about how in our day and age, we have a lot of resources to help us. Do you guys know that we have that there internet? Like if you don't understand something, you have that there internet. I say it like that because me and Brandon Jones were in North Carolina, and Brandon was being Brandon, and he was talking to guys at the hotel, and I had something with me, and the guy's like, where'd you get that? I'm like, oh, I ordered it on the internet. And the man literally doubled back and said, the internet? We ain't got no internet. And so that's just been a that there internet. All right. So anyway, did you guys know that there's 380,000 churches in America?
Church denominations?
Churches, just church buildings. All different sizes, shapes, groups of people. And I think, you know, for us, In this prophetic, edgy vein, we like to think that the rest of them don't have it, but they have the core. Maybe there's some wonky ones, but they have the core. They know Jesus is the Son of God. They have a Bible. They're trying to learn. So there's a lot of, if there's 380,000 churches in America, I would love for you guys to listen to the podcast from here, the message from here. But I want to tell you, there's some other messages that happen every Sunday from some other places that'll help you understand. You know? Anyway, just did some math because I love my calculator. If there's 380,000 churches in America and there's 330 million Americans...
868.42.
So that's 868.42 Americans per church. So if we set that as our target, and let's say there's 25 of us, we all only have to help 35 people encounter God. And that's everybody. So over the next, I don't know, 10, 15 years, could you maybe find 35 people and help them encounter the love of God?
Wow.
You know, we're doing some of that together. We're giving to some places and trying to do that. But, you know, just put that, it's fun. Okay, so if I want to have life and life more abundant, Jesus said his words were spirit and life. Those words can be stolen from me unless I understand. So point number one, I need to be intentional about understanding the words of Jesus. So your one job is to believe in the one whom God sent. But point number one in growing, help it'll help you grow. Be intentional in understanding the words of Jesus. I don't know what the best way for you to do that is. I know what works for me. But understanding the words of Jesus starts with actually reading them. Just throwing that out there. All right, back to Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 20. This is the next place that the sower sowed the word. The one sown on gravel represents the person who gladly hears the kingdom message, but his experience remains shallow. Shortly after he hears it, troubles and persecutions come because of the kingdom message he has received. Then he quickly falls away, for the truth did not seek deeply into his heart. If you're following along, your version might say, because he has no root. You guys may remember this. I've talked about it before. But here's the question I want to ask. Are you potted or planted? If you want to hear more about this, May 19th, 2019 on the podcast. I did a lot of talking about this. So my dad had this jade plant. You guys know those little gift jade plants that people give? Hey, you bought a house. Here's a plant for you to take care of. Go ahead. It'll die. It'll be fun. So my dad's kind of like Dave and Donna, like things just grow at their house. Now, I know you guys put some work in, but somehow I missed. Maybe it skips a generation. Or maybe what my wife brought to the table is so deadly to plants that plants don't live at our house. It's okay. She would say it too. So my dad had this little jade plant, and he kept moving it into a bigger pot and a bigger pot and a bigger pot. And then all of a sudden, it took two of us to move it. When it became wintertime, we had to drag this plant in, two hefty people, to put it down. And then where this plant ended up is he went to Ots and he said, would you guys like this giant jade plant I have? And they sent this giant truck.
Wow.
Three or four guys put it on the truck, and now it lives at Ots because it can't live in our house. It's too big. So there's a lot to be learned there, though. Like, people feel safe in their pot with their little root system. And they want to come into the atmosphere of a community, and they want to get some of the nutrients they can get in the air, but they stay in their pot because their pot provides safety and the ability to escape. When we look at marriage and the way it's viewed in our culture, there's only really one reason why people wouldn't actually get married if they're in love and they're living together. It's so they can leave. You know, and it's so, one of the things that I'm starting to realize more as I interact with couples is there's actually a control piece. Like, if you don't please me, because we're not married, I'll just go somewhere else. As opposed to saying, hey, I'm all in. I have no other plan but you. So let's work on it. You know, and so, interestingly enough, done a lot of looking at weddings and have some, we'll talk about that later. All right. So, you guys, everyone does this. We cut flowers, we put them in water, and we stick them on our kitchen table or the kitchen windowsill or by the TV. For some reason, we do that at our house. Do you guys know why those flowers, those blossoms never bear fruit? They have no root. Nobody brings a plant. If you bring a plant inside your house, like a piece of an apple tree, put it in water, and apples start growing, that's awesome. God did that for you. But in reality, what's that?
Celery.
You can do a celery. Yeah, celery has the ability to re-root. But most of the time, you know, and so a lot of times when we talk about why things aren't bearing fruit, it's because they have no root. You know, and we're really in a rooting season as a church. A couple of people we really love that go here, they're chopping at the bit. Let's plaster ourselves all over the world and let whoever wants to come, come. And we're going to do that at some point. But I'm loving this rooting season. We're putting in foundation. We're working out some kinks. Forgive my lovey-dovey phrase, but we're falling in love with each other, just being small and being together. Now, that said, if somebody walks in, please come, but I'm not going around dragging people in at this point. We're putting in that foundation. I have an excerpt of a book that I read. This book is called Rooted by a man named Banning Leibscher. You guys can get this book actually at the public library or on the public library app. It's worth reading. And I'm going to read this excerpt for you guys. And the section heading is Roots Before Fruit. In the growth cycle of fruit-bearing plants, fruit comes at the very end. The cycle starts with the seed being planted in the ground. When watered, the seed will break open and begin to put down roots. The root system will continue to grow as the seed forms a shoot and eventually breaks through the surface of the soil into air and sunlight. Both the plant and its root system will keep growing until the plant is strong and mature enough to bear fruit. Significantly, in order for the plant to survive, much less bear fruit, its root system has to take up more space underground than the plant takes up above ground. When you look at one of those immense redwoods in the Avenue of the Giants, for example, you're actually standing on a root system that is wider than those trees are tall. This is the principle of foundations. A foundation always has to be bigger than the thing it's supporting. Fruitfulness in your life comes about through a similar process. God plants the seed of his word inside of you and waters it with his Holy Spirit, bringing it to life. He begins to give you insight into whom he created you to be in him and what he's calling you to do with him. He stirs up the desire for you to have lasting impact on the world. And he starts to build a root system from the seed in your heart. And that root system is built in your internal world. I'm just going to give you the three kinds of soil he talks about in his book. Banning says there's three types of soil which everyone needs to be planted in. One is the soil of intimacy. That's intimacy with God. The other is in the soil of serving. And the other is in the soil of community. Some people never put down roots. This is me talking, not Banning. Some people never put down roots. They prefer to stay potted. When things become challenging, they can move easily somewhere else. And I want to remind you of my father's jade plant. You know, my father's jade plant, he continued to expand where it could put its roots, and it grew bigger and bigger and bigger. Now it's on display in this giant greenhouse. So one of the things that I want to encourage you is just because you become rooted in this community, as God grows you, you may get promoted somewhere else. You know, you can move big plants too, so keep that in mind. All right, 1 Corinthians 12:25-26. I'm just going to read it out of the message. You guys don't have to turn there. And this is the Lord talking about the body. The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the church, in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. So it's talking about the body, and he's talking about when one part of the body hurts. Some of you were around a couple years ago. I broke a toe. Not the little toe, but the one next to it. I mean, my teeth hurt. My head hurt. Now, that's because I tried to work on a broken toe. But anyway, so that one little part, insignificant part, I only ever look at it when I cut its little nail. You know, I mean, it gets washed, but I don't really pay attention to it. You know, it was causing, like, all kinds of things, pain in my body. And so as the body of Christ, if somebody's going through something, through compassion and love, we enter into a place of empathy as we try to help. We're able to do that. And then if one part flourishes, that joy should be the same way. These are two things that I think that we as the body of Christ as a whole can improve on. One of the things that I often see is when somebody flourishes, other people are just mad that they didn't flourish. You know, and I think we need to have that real family mindset. You know, the other day, I meant, it's fine. He'll never listen to this. I got to see my cousin who moved to Florida. Pre-pandemic, he moved to Florida. From his condo, he can see the animal kingdom. Not the animals, but like the fireworks and some of the big rides. And he bought that condo right around $330,000. The pandemic hit. Now the condos are selling for $550,000. And he's looking for temporary places to stay because you can also rent it for like $5,000 a week. Wow. Yeah. So he bought that to live in with his family. They're living there at now. And part of me was like, But then I was like, oh, I'm so glad he found a place to live that he loves.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that he's prospering there. Like, he's flourishing in that, you know, and he made that decision. Like, we all made jokes because he's from Florida that we had to stay away from him because, you know, Florida. Anyway, fun stuff. So if one part flourishes, then every other part enters into the exuberance. If one part flourishes, every other part is happy for him. And when we think about that word flourish, that's what I want for you. That's what I want for myself, my kids, my parents, coworkers, strangers. I want strangers to flourish. Like, have your good life. I want you to do that. And that's what I want for this place, for the people that we reach, everyone that comes through these doors, flourish. I looked up thoris, flourish. That's hard to say with this word, thesaurus. I looked up flourish in the thesaurus, not the dinosaur. It's a book that shows you synonyms. Anyway, someone else can talk about synonyms. But for flourish, I want to read this list, and I want you to think about, like, this is what you want for you. This is what you want for the other people here, these words. So flourish, synonyms for flourish. Bloom, blossom, boom. Develop, do well, expand, multiply, succeed, thrive, amplify, arrive, augment, batten, burgeon, flower, go, increase, score, wax, be on top of the heap, bear fruit, come along, get ahead, get on, go great guns, hit it big, live high on the hog, and make out. When one part flourishes, all the other parts rejoice. Now remember, we're still talking about being planted and potted. Psalm 92, you don't have to turn there, you can trust me. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I want life and life more abundant. Jesus said his words were spirit and life. In order to see those words bear fruit in my life, number one, I need to understand. And number two, I need to put down roots. Be planted, not potted. All right, continuing on in Matthew 13. Everybody take a deep breath. Everybody's good? I hear those pots breaking everywhere. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Matthew 13, verse 22. The one sown among the thorns represents one who receives the message, but in all of life's busy distractions, his divided heart and his ambition for wealth result in suffocating the kingdom message, and it becomes fruitless. Fruitless is a rough word when you're talking about bearing fruit. So everybody's busy. Everybody. It used to be around here. I mean, we were in a different location, but around here, when I asked, I could ask 10 different people on a Sunday morning how they were doing, and I would get this answer, busy. It's kind of like they were afraid I was going to try to give them a job. You know, I do have a list of jobs without people, just throwing that out there. But when I ask people how they're doing, I'm not thinking about that list. I really want to know how they're doing. Anyway, we've come a long way since then. I think I get mostly real answers. But everybody's busy. Jesus is talking about people being so busy their heart becomes divided. They love their busyness and what it gains them. So in my life, I tell you guys, I'm going to get a really nice guitar by the end of summer. Yeah. I am. I'm going to get a really nice guitar by the end of summer. That makes me feel better about what I'm about to say. In my life, I work a lot of forced overtime. If there's slack, I'm expected to pick it up. It's been to the tune of 3 or 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. Wow. It's busy. But I'm going to have such a nice guitar. It's going to sound so good. We're going to worship. It'd be awesome. Not that we didn't worship awesome today. Makes me feel better. But a lot of you guys can relate to this, especially moms. The other day, I sent my wife, I was like, just get out, go. And I put these kids to bed, and we did this thing, and she came home, and I put dinner in front of her, and I was like, God, you got a little break. Because now one of my kids is homeschooled, so she's with a kid all the time. And just when, like, I set that plate before her, this kid was like, Mom, can you come up here? And I was like, No, it was nice. I was like, I'll be right up. He's like, I want mom. Yeah, but moms get it. You know, I can talk all about a 12-hour day, and some of you moms are 24 hours a day for the last 18 years. So, Mother's Day next week, get your mom something nice. Anyway, all right. So sometimes busyness is out of our control, but we need to make time so the kingdom message in us does not become fruitless. Jesus said his words were spirit and life. In order to see those words bear fruit in my life, number one, I need to understand. Number two, I need to put down roots. And number three, I need to make time for it. All right, verse 23. We're going to wrap this up soon. But what was sown on rich soil, represents the one who hears and fully embraces the message of the kingdom of God. Their lives bear good fruit. Some yield a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was sown. I want you guys to think about 100 times as much. This is multiplication. This isn't addition. Do you ever see an apple tree with one apple?
Yeah, last year. Yeah.
All right. We have an apple tree. Mr. Myers planted it. Mr. Myers did some things to the property that I own now that I wish he hadn't. He was not an electrician. Anyway, he planted this apple tree, and this apple tree is so vast and big at this point, it just drops like a gazillion apples all over the lawn, which attracts a gazillion bees, which means that I have to remove all the apples and deal with the bees, or my children get stung. Anyway, so this is what the whole point of this is. Did you ever see an apple tree or a fruit tree, whatever fruit is your favorite, that's fine. Did you ever see a tree like work hard to make an apple? Did you ever see it straining and groaning and be like, I'm going to make an apple? Has anyone ever looked at an apple tree? Can't believe you guys never saw that. All right. So good fruit comes from good roots. It's what happens behind the scenes. It's what happens under the surface, where no one else can see it. The tree doesn't strive or strain. It's just happening. All right, verse 23. I'm going to read it again. What was sown on good, rich soil represents the one who hears and fully embraces the message of the kingdom. Their lives bear good fruit. Some yield a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as was sown. Let's be people that fully embrace the message of the kingdom of God, that seek to understand the words of Jesus, that put down roots, that make it a priority. I'm just going to pray for you guys, and then you can leave. Bye. All right. So, Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that your word would root in our heart, that we would see it bear fruit. Help us to be a people that seeks to understand. Help your spirit teach us the things we need to know. And Lord, we just pray that we would be able to make time for your word and that we would find the time in our life to really understand it. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a great week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm digging a well right here. I'm digging a well in the valley.